What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of 30-ish. Now, for those of you who are struggling and wondering if you are in the right career or in a career change, we have the author of Go For Yours, Ms. Erica McCall, here to give you some inspiration and some tips on just how to get through that right decision. But first, let's get to the ish.
Yes. It's been a great week. But, you know, I've been thinking about some career stuff. And I was talking to my mentor, and she was like, well, have you ever considered going back to grad school? And I did. I was like, I do want to go to grad school. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at this point in my career and what I do, is it going to really help my career? Like, do you guys ever think about, like, going back to school for something else?
You know, there was only one person that suggested that I go back to school. And that was... the people who were in charge of my private loans. When I called them and told them that I couldn't quite pay for them, they said, why don't you go back to school? I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't afford the school that I already bought. So therefore, I'm not going to go back to school. But I think it does depend on your career. And I think that, like, my friends who are teachers, they go back to school and get, you know, their graduate, their master's, their PhD, only because once you have those degrees, you get another pay grade.
Well, teachers, you have to keep your education up. Like, they make you. Yeah, I have friends who are teachers, so they make you do it. But I agree with you. I mean, it's total. My husband's in the business world, and the people he hires people for other companies, and the people they hire have, like, they have to have MBAs or certain requirements. But I think it really depends on what you do. I don't know. For me, I'm like, I always wish I, like, would have gone to culinary school, but because I feel like I just kind
of,
like,
you can do that.
But I still do.
That's not like grad school.
I know, but how am I going to do that with my kid?
You better.
Like,
hold that thing on your hip.
To them.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's good that we always want to be learning, though. And I think anytime you expand your knowledge, no matter what it is, I think it benefits you, even if it's, like, you know, for a business or for this or for that. I feel like it benefits you. You meet more people. I don't know. I think if you're losing your way, it might be somewhere important to come back.
But here's my question for you guys on that. So, yeah, I think depending on the career that you're in, but have you seen all the people who are making some mad money nowadays, just making apps or getting into these businesses and industries?
Yes.
They have a bachelor. Some don't even have a bachelor's degree. They're high school graduates.
Yeah, some are in high school. YouTube stars that are 17 are making millions of dollars.
It depends on your industry. That's not something you can be like, that's what I'm going to be when I'm in high school and bank on that. In the business
world. Well, nowadays, the kids got
the world has changed so much. That's the thing. So it's like, is it worth to go back to school?
Because your debt, like, first of all, school has gotten so expensive, especially when you think about it. In that conversation with my mentor, instead of her, you know, me saying, I'm going to go back to grad school, because I've thought about it. Yeah. But what the second thought that came to mind was, well, there's specific courses that I could take that won't be as, you know, intense, it won't be as expensive, and it won't be as time consuming as going back for, like, the full degree. Because I basically graduated with a double major. So I've been a nerd my whole life.
Why
I've been in school forever.
Surprised?
I've been in school forever.
I didn't know how I would take that. I started college.
Give Naina that look, because she always surprises me with something.
Because,
like,
I've been in college.
I was trying to get through one degree, she got two.
Literally, but I've been in college since I was 16. Legit. Yeah. I started taking college courses when I was 16 years old. And so the thought of going back, and yes, I graduated with no debt. It was the most amazing blessing on the planet Earth. So to me, I can't understand the pressure. Like, some of my friends went to law school, they went to medical school, and they have, like, $200,000 in debt.
They're still paying it off.
And they can't even get a job to pay that off. Right. So the pressure of you trying to go back when you're still trying to pay back your first loan is just intense. You can't relax and enjoy school when you're worried about all that debt.
And to counter that, you can sometimes, like, if you go out after your bachelor's degree and get a job, a lot of companies will pay for your school or pay a portion of your master's degree to go back and do some classes
at
night.
That is true.
And I read an article in Business Insider that says people who go back in the business world and get their master's degree command 35% more money in terms of their salary when they go to apply. And there's fewer jobs nowadays in this market and more people applying for jobs. So the candidates that do have higher education, at least in the business world, those are the people that are getting brought in for the interviews. Those are the people that are being considered more so than just your bachelor. So I don't think it has to be something that you want to do right away, like from your bachelor's degree right into your master's degree. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer of just go get in the workforce, gain some experience.
Yeah.
And then if you can have a company chip away at some of that $20,000, that's what's going to cost to go get your master's degree. by all means, do that and continue to work so you have like steady income instead of just acquiring all this debt.
Well, my sister went to business school at Notre Dame. That's actually her and her husband went there, and it was very like they say it was worth everything, and it's more the network of people as well. That's one of, like, you can't almost put a price on that, I guess. I don't know. And so especially with something that's prestigious like Notre Dame, but they always worked in the business world. But something interesting, my sister ended up being a fashion blogger. But because she has that business kind of mindset, she's so good with PR and this. And she went, when she was going to business school, they actually wanted people with more work experience. So it's never too late to go back. But something in that whole fashion blogger world that I'm so curious, that's like, it irks me that there's so much body shaming that's going on in just social media in general, but she hasn't been the brunt of it, but a lot of people have, and it breaks my heart. Have you guys kind of witnessed any of that body shaming that's going on via social media?
Well, there was that one. Was she a sportscaster that took the Snapchat of the woman?
That was terrible. She was a Playboy.
That was very bad.
Like a Playmate, a Playboy bunny. Yeah. And I don't know her name because I didn't know who she was until that happened.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So, yeah, but do you want to explain what happened?
That was pretty much it. She was at the gym. She took a Snapchat of a woman in the gym.
A naked woman. That's
and she thought she was sending it to just her friend, but she ended up putting it on her whole Snap story, which you got to be careful of your finger of one thing.
And she's like a known person, so a lot of people saw that. And
she's known for her body.
Yeah. And, well, for me, I feel like there's this pressure of looking a certain way. And I think that when media portrays all body types as, like, it's okay. Like, if you're comfortable in your body and the skin that you're in, then you are still just as beautiful. That's why I love the Dove campaign when they did the women in all different shapes and sizes. Because that's realistically how we are. We are all different body types. And, I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, this six-pack ab, like, muscle guy.
You're not?
Exactly.
I see you in the gym.
Let me tell you, look. This
can
is like,
you dance
this
to Beyonce?
Listen, this is like David Copperfield. What's up under here is real different than what you think it is. But I'm okay with that. And if I do work out or go to the gym, it's more so for me. And I feel like some people feel the pressure of looking a certain way that because that's how society has set things up.
But Barbie has done that too. So Barbie has done a great job of creating different ethnicities of dolls, different body types of dolls. Mm-hmm. And they only did it because they were getting a lot of pressure too. And then they saw how their demographic was changing. But I think that's where it starts. Yeah. It starts with us, with the young women and young men, reminding them that they are different, unique, special, and that's what makes them amazing. And it's okay to be a little shorter. It's okay to be a lot taller. It's okay to be a little bit hippier. Like my mom reminded me of how amazing I was. And so I never looked to anyone else for validation, and I never looked at them for, you know, yes or no's with anything. So I've always been really confident about who I was, as long as I was comfortable and healthy. And I think that's what we need
to make sure that our youth
need to know that, though. And I think that's where it lacks, because those people who are doing the body shaming, a lot of times they're missing something, and no one was encouraging to them. Or they were the ones that were always told that they were perfect. And that's a problem too. There's no one's perfect, and that's the beauty of it.
But in all honesty, Naina, I grew up with a lot of insecurities. I always thought I was too fat, and I always thought, I mean, no matter what, I always had issues with being short. I always had issues, and it wasn't until I had a baby that I really appreciated my body for what it would do. But it pains me to see what, like, even if you look at Kim Kardashian has more money than God, but, like, you look at her Instagram and people write nasty things, and it's still, I feel like maybe it's because it's social media and it's an anonymous face and voice, or it's celebrities, it's fashion bloggers, it's anybody and everybody, like, getting these comments that people just feel entitled that they can say you're too thin, you're too fat. My friend Debbie Matenopoulos, who is the host of Home and Family, she's on Insider, one of the best humans I've ever met in my life. People will write on there that she doesn't have a womanly figure. I'm like, why is that any of your business?
What gives you the entitlement to comment on something like that?
Okay. America are angry, and that's why. I feel angry like when
at
you're
what? At, they when need
you're
snacks?
At
Why
are
they
lives,
so bad?
When yeah, you're a child, it's all about you. You're the baby. You're gorgeous. Oogie boogie woogie to the kids. And then as you grow up in your adult life and life hits you in the face, you get angry at the heroes. You get angry at the Kim Kardashians. You get angry at these people who have quote unquote made it or who are beautiful or whatever. So you have some sense of release commenting on that photo.
That's insecure. They're insecure.
I think that's the problem with social media, though, is because we have access to do that. True. We have a voice and a platform.
Yeah.
But it goes back to just how you are. Yes, we all have our own insecurities. Mm-hmm. But if you don't view yourself as a beautiful person, and if you don't view yourself as someone who can just appreciate, I appreciate how Kim Kardashian looks. That's you.
I do.
I can't look like Kim Kardashian.
You can if you pay for it.
You're right.
But I mean, anybody can.
I owe Sally Mae too much money to be trying to worry about how
I'm just
look
saying,
like Kim
you can buy that body.
But that's the problem, though. People are trying to buy a certain way of looking. Be happy with you. And if there are changes that you need to make, then make those changes. But don't envy someone or be angry because someone looks a certain way.
It's inner love. I think it's got to come in from within you and be comfortable with who you are.
Back when I was younger, growing up with a big behind, I've had a big behind my whole life. My nickname was Bertha Booty in my family.
Your name ain't even Bertha.
Literally, my grandmother, that was my nickname, but that was back when I was younger. Mm. And it was like funny because it was inside of my family. And then when other people noticed that I had a big butt, it was like, oh, she has a big butt. Now it's like popular. And I remember when I was working at Fox, I did a story. This was years ago, before butt implants and butt injections even came up. I was doing a story on this, and there was an older woman. She was in her 50s, an older Latin woman that got butt implants. Mm-hmm. And this was right at the beginning of it when people started to go over to different countries and Brazil. Get the work done. Yeah. And so to me, like, she was saying that she did it for that reason. This is an older woman. So she's not trying to post any pictures on Instagram or nothing like that. She did it for her own personal happiness. Okay. And it was something that she wanted to always have. And so I think when you're doing it for yourself and your own happiness, that's where it starts.
Yes.
But to me,
Don't you aspire to love somebody else.
Absolutely. And I commend the women who, you know, get work done. Like, you get the work done, but you're like, you know what? I got work done. Like, be proud of what you got done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're not born like that, it's okay that you weren't born that way. But if you did get work done, you know, hey, you know, yeah, own it. Like, what's the girl name? I don't know. One of the reality girls. But she is like, this is not my behind. I went and got it done. I got some, you know, little nip and tuck here and there. And she owns it. But she's still proud of it. And that's where it comes from.
We can talk about booties all day.
Yes, we can.
Why do I feel like Stephen over there licking his lips?
We talk about booties.
like it's KFC on a Monday.
Yeah, I mean.
But speaking of.
KFC on a Monday?
Speaking of doing you. So I have a friend who I've already told her that I was going to bring this up to y'all because I want to get your opinion about this.
Okay.
But there was a guy that initiated some sexting to her, and he is actually in a relationship. Now, there's not been any actual physical contact. However, there have been some sexting going on. Now, do you guys think that this is like a form of cheating or just a form of fun?
Is he in a monogamous relationship?
Knock on wood,
As
far as he knows,
That's absolutely cheating. Like, this is my thing. If you do anything that your significant other would be hurt by or offended by, or that you feel like you shouldn't or couldn't tell them because it will make them feel a certain type of way, it's cheating.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, you're in a relationship and you're sexting another girl.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wrong.
I don't even think you should be sexting anybody unless you guys have been like dating for a long time, and to take it another level, unless like that's your man and that's your husband and wife, because those photos, those sexts that you sent, if y'all break up and she's nasty,
feeling some type of way,
you're nasty,
next
she
you
wants
know.
To put something on the internet, but you won't blast.
There's a Tumblr page with no
control
over
that. We see these celebrities all the time where things get leaked and naked photos, and it's like, you just don't want to be putting yourself out there like that.
And it's even not just us, but like, I was actually reading this on an eHarmony article. Even the psychologist.
eHarmony has articles?
Yeah.
So does Playboy, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So they actually had an article about this, and there were a couple of psychologists and other people. They agreed. They said that it is absolutely cheating.
Yeah.
See, and I feel like, listen, if you want to spice up the relationship and maybe do something like that, don't do it with somebody else.
Go
in another room and be like, ooh, what you doing? You know, ooh, what you got on? Ooh, let me take a picture of
this. I'm still so against anything in photos, because those photos, you saw celebrities get hacked because your photos go to your iCloud. Y'all don't even realize that they automatically store it there. So hackers go right into the iCloud and release your photos.
I don't want nothing on the cloud. The cloud is not to
tell people how to take their pictures. However, if people who take pictures, you know, you don't put your face in it. You're supposed to take your face out.
I'm not saying I've done any of this.
What if you got
like a noted tattoo or something?
You better cover that up. You better make sure anything from that down is not recognizable. Okay, it could be anybody. It could be a search on the internet. I had a friend who used to like send like fake pictures. Like she would go.
Oh my god, that's
like she would go. She would go online and find someone that could maybe pass as her from here down and send it to the person.
That's just body shaming that person.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, look, they can bust in my cloud because they not gonna find none anyway.
Yeah, that's the way
the safest thing to do is to not take those pictures. Like,
and
don't do it because
it's a setup.
And if you are in a relationship, don't sext anybody that's not in your relationship.
I think sexting is okay to a certain extent as long as it's with the
somebody
person.
Else?
Yeah, no, if it's the person you're in the relationship with. Yeah, if you're in the relationship, like, it's nothing wrong with having a little cute conversation, a sexy conversation. I'm not talking about explicit.
But don't go outside.
So what if you're not in an exclusive relationship?
Then is it okay?
What do you mean?
If you're not monogamous,
if you're dating,
if you're just dating, how does that work?
I think that's up to your own standards. Like I think as a woman, that is kind of not okay to a certain extent, because then it gives the guy the idea that you're open and available to doing other things. And if you're not ready for that, that's kind of leading him on. And so if you're just trying to get to know somebody, you don't sex him because you want to get to know who he is,
you
as opposed to distracting
the relationship. If you go in and you sex too soon,
oh my god,
the girl doesn't want to see you the right way.
It's not a good idea. But if you're in a relationship, I think it's okay to have a little, you know, sexy.
There's a certain moment in the relationship where that should be discussed, is what you're saying. It shouldn't be like, hey, how you doing? My name is Tony. Okay, now what you do?
Not in the beginning. Like, oh my god, not in the beginning. Like, it's like, you know, you guys are comfortable with each other. You feel like it's a person you're comfortable and safe with as far as like having that conversation. I'm not talking about nothing explicit. Like, I don't know the level, because there are levels of sexting. I don't do the bad stuff. So, I mean, the most you're going to get from me is, you know, I have on a top and a bottom. I mean, that's like, figure it out. Hey. You know, use your imagination.
Why suddenly did I picture you in like a Tweety Bird t-shirt?
Because
like
I actually have a Tweety Bird t-shirt.
See?
Is there some sexing going on?
Yeah. No, there's not.
It wouldn't be somebody that
the same thing. The only thing I would send is, if I can't send it to one of my girls, it's out of the question.
Well, at the end of the day, if you're in a relationship, in a committed relationship, and you have chosen this to be in a monogamous relationship with someone, you should not be sexting or anything alluding to that outside of that person.
Exactly. Yep.
And if you are dating and getting to know people, and you use that as a certain discretion, don't just be sexting.
90 days. 90 days.
Yes.
At least the minimum.
Y'all know it's hashtag way back Wednesday.
Yes.
This is like
I'm not
cool enough
to know that.
There was like hashtag TBT,
I missed
Transformation
that one.
Tuesday, and I was like hashtag way back Wednesday.
This is too much pressure. It too is. Many things to remember.
Right. It's just another reason for people to post old pictures. Like,
of
way back Thursday, fall back Friday.
I'm
on way back Wednesday.
I
want to
do way back Wednesday. I want to do throwback Thursday.
I do have a lot of pictures.
I want to be sat here on Saturday.
I do have a lot of pictures. Like cute selfies I haven't posted.
Speaking of like way back, like what are some things y'all miss from way back in the day?
Good R&B music. Lord.
The way R&B music used to be made. You mean,
right.
Like
yes.
The Genuine, the Tyrese's.
Jealousy.
Soul for Real.
H-Town.
Can I ever tell like stuff?
Yeah. Do you,
stereotypical moment though?
What?
I kind of miss like the old school Brit and Christina, like when they didn't go crazy. Like pre, like when did Britney go crazy?
Oh, 2007.
Yeah. Like pre 2007 Britney.
Am I gonna be shamed for saying I miss NSYNC and Backstreet Boys?
I love NSYNC.
I think I missed my calling.
I'm not mad.
I think I missed my calling.
You know,
you could totally be in a boy band.
Yes, totally, I see that.
You totally could. You know what I miss? I miss Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
I miss, that was my thing. Saturday morning, waking up early in the morning.
Good cold juice.
Cereal in the bed.
Bean bag in your underwear. Just watch some Pokemon.
I used to do two things. One, I would either get the biggest bowl in the kitchen and pour me a big bowl of Frosted Flakes with a big spoon and just sit there and watch all of my cartoons.
Give me some on that right there. Or I'll do that with you this weekend, bro.
Do you guys remember the commercial of the cereal where at the end they had the tray with the bowl of cereal and the toast and the glass of orange juice?
Wow, you really watched.
Nobody ever got that set up.
Well, I did it. just to let y'all know, y'all can't eat all that on one thing. That's a lie. Yeah, but I did it one day. I was like, oh, look at this. I got it. But yeah, I miss Saturday morning cartoons She-Ra and He-Man and Smurfs and Gummy
Punky
Bears.
Brewster.
Punky
you know
Brewster,
what? I never
Jim and the Holograms.
I woke up the other day because I'm on this break from another show that I'm doing, and I woke up and I was like, I don't want to watch the news, but Oprah would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Don't you miss Oprah?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God, I miss Oprah.
I only miss Oprah because I didn't get a call.
But she's like,
The Oprah show was so good.
It was so good every day at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It was good. Or 9 o'clock in the morning. Like 9 o'clock. That was a rebroadcast.
Oh, you were Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah,
In the morning, you wake up in the morning, you get your Oprah, you get your life. It was so good.
You will get your life or somebody else's life. What do you miss, Rasha?
I just miss hanging out with people like in the park.
On the block.
Not on the block. Yeah, you're just going out. You know, you'd have your neighbors and your neighbors were your friends, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So neighborhood kids.
Yeah, we'd play kickball or we'd play Red Rover and all that stuff.
I just, it was fun.
It was so much fun.
Did y'all ever
go
home and get on AOL chat room after school?
No, mom and
I did.
AOL chat was lit after school. Let me tell you,
the thing that you can screenshot AOL conversations.
It was sort of
in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I don't know what they're talking about.
I didn't do that too.
It was a good
kind of freaky in the chat room.
You would wait till your boyfriend's screening popped up and be like,
I was a
what are you doing?
I was not allowed to have a boyfriend in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
I didn't get a boyfriend. I was my first boyfriend was 16. I was old. I was such a nerd. And then I worked.
I sound like such a late bloomer because my first boyfriend wasn't until I was 23.
Oh, 23 is
great. I mean, I didn't have a lot of figuring out to do, but some other ones did.
What I miss? I miss skateboarding. I used to skateboard. I miss it so much. Every time I see somebody in LA skateboarding down the street, I'm like, oh my God. I don't want to look crazy and I don't want to fall and hurt myself. I got a lot of cushion for the tushion to catch me. But I do not want to hurt myself.
Okay, Bertha.
Yeah, booty Bertha.
I might get a skateboard. Y'all see me at LA skateboarding.
Oh, you said Brittany. What do you miss, Steven?
Everything. Backstreet Boys, Nintendo, Super Mario Kart.
Ooh, Nintendo with the power pad.
I still have my Game Boy.
That's a good one, Maria. Well, we got way more to talk about in this show, so let's break for commercial. Stay with us. Thank you for being with us. We got more 30-ish coming right up.
Roxy Stryer here from The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. We're your twice-weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren LeGrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Craig Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there or be square, whatever that means.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, when our back... Can we redo that? Sorry. When I saw your hand...
What was your name?
Welcome back, everybody. You know, sometimes in our 30s, we struggle to find the right career, right? Yes, the right fit. And, you know, there's all these different ways that we try to figure it out. But I've invited a special guest, my friend, author, and speaker, Erica McCall, in to give us some insight on this. A little help. Hey, Erica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Erica, I am so excited to talk to you, and I know our audience would get so much information from you. You are so successful, and you've developed such an amazing Go For Yours book. So please tell us how this journey started for you.
Okay. Well, I was actually on a plane. I was leaving Atlanta going to Chicago. It was like the beginning of the year, 2010, and I was just writing down quotes in a journal. And, you know, on Twitter and Facebook, everyone always writes different quotes because they look nice and they want likes or retweets or whatever. But I was like, oh, this would be nice to have in a book. And initially, I saw Go For Yours as just a coffee table book full of quotes of inspiration. And then I said, oh, it would be nice to have an example of these quotes, like how you can actually live this kind of life. So I started doing research on people, and then I started interviewing people, and then from there it just grew. And at the time, I was working a full-time job in Chicago, and I loved my job. I was working with students, and I would often tell them, go for yours, you know, when they would have a problem with their classes or figuring out graduation or what they wanted to do in their career, I would just always say, go for yours. So it just grew. Mm-hmm. And as I was interviewing different people, I was just like, oh, I would love to have a life where I create my own opportunity. And I felt like I was being a hypocrite writing about these people, but not actually being an example of what I was writing about.
Oh, wow.
So it came to the point where, you know, I was in my late 20s at the time, and I had moved to Chicago with my grandmother, and I was living in her basement, and I didn't want to live in her basement too much longer. So quitting my job, you know, I was going to have to be there a while. But I ended up quitting, and I did have support from my family, so that was good.
So you took that leap of faith.
I took that leap
of faith. At what age, 20?
I was 27 at the time, I believe.
30-ish. So, almost 30.
Yeah, almost 30-ish. Now I'm 30-ish.
Okay.
But I took that leap of faith because I said I have the degree, I have the job with the office and the benefits, and if I need to, I can go back to that. But I don't want to say, like, I never did it. What if I would have done this?
You didn't go for yours.
Yeah, so I had to go for mine, and I quit my job, and from there it just grew into opportunities. You know, you see Go For Yours as a book, but I have a foundation, the Go For Yours Foundation, where I've done different programs with at-risk youth. We have Go For Yours concerts, comedy shows.
Everything. Just you're everywhere.
Everything, because it's just a lifestyle that we all have to live.
Yeah, that's so yours. Awesome. So this book, for people who have not read it and should read it, what is the takeaway from this book? Like, what are people going to get when they read it? And then, like, how, like, can they apply this to their own life?
After you read Go For Yours, you're just going to be motivated to do whatever it is that you were scared to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many people, and there's some classes, actually my alma mater, Northern Illinois University, some of their classes, they use this book. And I have students who have sent me emails and said that they decided to pursue, you know, the career that they really wanted to pursue. Like, you're just going to be so excited and motivated because there's people just like you in that book. And it's like, if they did it, if they could do it, why can't you do it? You know, like, we all come from different backgrounds and we have different stories, but there's always a story that someone can relate to because there's, like, over 60 stories.
Wow. So what do you, like, which one stands out the most?
I was thinking that question.
Yeah, what stands out the most?
Favorite one? Yeah.
My favorite story, which is the first story in the book, a young man by the name of Jerome Boykin from Louisiana lost everything in Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And he had plans to go to grad school, but of course those plans changed because he lost everything, lost his money, was, you know, living on his parents' couch. And then his father convinced him to open up or to start a parking lot cleaning business. Hmm. You know, at first he was like, no, who wants to clean parking lots? But he started his own parking lot cleaning business. He got his first contract with the Walmart. And then it just grew from there. And I read about him. He was on the cover of Black Enterprise when I found out about him. So he's a millionaire from that.
Wow.
It started at the age of 23. So now in his 30s, you know, he has a thriving business. And it's such an inspirational story because he was able to help other people. He's helped other people start their parking lot cleaning businesses, mm-hmm. and he's able to give other people opportunities. And now he just plays like Monopoly in real life. Like, what are you up to?
I'm buying,
you know, a new building or shopping center or whatever. But a lot of times when you think of success, you think of entertainment or you think of, you know, sports or even being a doctor or an attorney, all of these prestigious jobs. But he cleans parking lots, and he's a millionaire.
Well, somebody's got
to
do it.
Somebody has to do it.
A question of mine is, with our viewers being 30-ish, is there, and a lot of people thinking of career changes, what's some, like, words of advice, I guess, for people who might be in that kind of transition?
I would say, one, don't be afraid, because what you want is on the other side of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we think when we're in our 30s, you know, there's so much pressure. Like, you have to be married. You have to have a certain job. You're making a certain amount of money on a house, whatever. I would say don't fall prey to the pressure. You have to live your own life and create your story. And also what I've learned is, you know, as you grow, you're going to change careers because your personality changes. You find out that you like different things. So I would say don't be scared and don't fall prey to the pressure, because most people, you know, they're afraid to do it. So they're going to channel that fear on you and discourage you. So don't allow people to do that.
So how do you start, though? So, I mean, I've personally, I feel like I'm in my third career now. I was in television for 10 years and then music for another 10 years. Like, I feel like reinventing yourself, there's something to be said about that, because one, it gives you like a new awakening. Like, your life feels like it's not just ending, but you completed a chapter and now you're starting over again. Like, I think it's like reinventing a better way to look at it, as opposed to saying like, you know, I'm done with that, you know?
Right. I wouldn't even say reinventing. As corny as this may sound, so I'm actually reading Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, who created Nike. And it's Just Do It. As corny as it sounds, we spend so much time thinking about it, you know, and sometimes you just have to, I just had to start writing. People are like, how do I write a book? Just start writing and you'll figure it out. You know, it doesn't even have to be that deep. You know, we can make things so deep, we're thinking about it, but I would say just get to doing it, because if you don't do it, someone else will.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you're going to be upset that you didn't.
And life's too short.
It is.
Right?
It's way too short.
Too precious. We have, as my best friend says, you have to live your best life.
Yeah. So you wrote this book when you were in your late 20s.
In my late 20s.
Okay. Is there anything, looking back at this book now that you're 30-ish, that you would like, that you maybe think you might add in another book or something?
Oh, definitely.
That, like, okay.
This book is full of, like, examples and stories. So the next book will be more about my experiences and the people that I encountered. Mm-hmm. Because when I took that leap of faith, I mean, I've had some amazing experiences. And some of them I've shared with Naina, you know, because she's going for hers. Mm-hmm. But just some amazing experiences that I want to share, because it's not all about the money. It's about that life experience and just
and being happy.
Being happy.
People
being
take that for granted.
Well,
being
Erica,
happy.
You have made us so happy. Just coming
Thank
here,
you.
You're just so bright and cheery, and your outfit's bright too.
Yeah.
So can you let our viewers know that where they can find you?
Yeah. Yes, you can find me. Well, the website is www.goforyours.com, and I am on Instagram and Twitter. Erica, E-R-I-K-A-R McCall.
Perfect.
Yes.
So
everybody go get the book. Yes. Thank
you
so much for coming. And surround yourself with amazing people. Yeah. Not just my panel, but my friends can come on the show. Like, you got to get that good circle in your life. You know?
Makes
Thank you
difference.
So much, Erica.
Thank
yeah.
You.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Great.
We'll be right back with more 30-ish.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. We want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info.
Welcome back to 30-ish. You know, I really enjoyed that chat with Erica.
Yes.
She's inspirational,
great
intelligent.
Just do it.
I'm hoping that there are many of my friends who paid attention to that because I've been telling them you need to go for yours. Now Erica's telling you to go for yours.
And she's got that book for them so they can check out her book, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, we hope that you enjoyed our show today and all of the shows that we brought to you this summer. It's been a great summer for all of us. We've loved being here and being able to talk to you guys and share our views and opinions on a lot of hot topics.
Yes.
So make sure that you are still checking out our shows. We do plan to come back and return. But in the meantime, share our shows with your family, friends, get the word out there and keep hashtagging and remembering all of us on 30-ish.
Bye, you guys.
Bye. See you guys.
Like my Forrest Gump wave.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.